begonias.
All they ever want is to grow. Smarter than us.
Violets.
They make a living give without any fuss.
Us.
Water,
water,
sun, and air.
And
are all they need to grow. Do I have to get specific? I think plants
we are so terrific.
Plants are generous souls.
It's hour number two of Garden Talk live at KSRO. Good morning, everyone. It's Gwen Kilcher and it's Steve Garner here, right here on the show, doing live radio as always. And that's what we do here on Garden Talk. You can reach us at 636-1350, or you can shoot us an email if you're checking your emails or surfing this morning. Steve@KSRO.com. And we're compiling our list of trends that we have seen come to fruition in 2018, what some of the local nursery owners and landscapers have told me this week about where they're seeing 2019. As we just mentioned, you can join our conversation at any time if you have some input, what did especially well or especially poorly in your yard or garden this past summer and fall and spring, and pass those things on to our listeners. You'll be helping a lot of people by joining our conversation today as we wrap up 2018. 636-1350. No one on hold at this moment. Or steve@ksro.com. Just mentioned that lawn grass, turf grass is back. Of course, there's pros and cons to all of that. We know that. Water bills and upkeep and mowing and all of that. But some people are looking more favorably on returning a little section of their yard or garden to the beautiful look of grass, and they're willing to absorb the cost of the water and also the maintenance of it. And in certain applications, it is a natural fire break too. And Gwen, you mentioned, of course, how many structures were saved by the vineyards of our Sonoma County area. Of course, on certain areas, if you're surrounded by vineyards, that's one thing, but fire only needed one particular area to cross that area. But vineyards were a good fire break, as well as turf grass. So nursery people and especially landscapers have seen an increase in requests for incorporating some turf grass into a landscape redesign.
Oh, but if you're speaking of fire breaks and all that stuff, I was thinking you could put in artificial turf too. But there you go back to the fire.
Yeah,
that melted
melt.
Like you
that's right.
Couldn't believe. But
2018, according to the American Association of Gardeners, was the year of the tulip, which was interesting. And a nursery owner I talked to said, they didn't really see any increase in people purchasing tulips this year at all. What one nursery owner told me was they saw a spike in dahlias.
Yes. Good.
In dahlias.
Jim Lang will be happy to hear that.
I thought that was kind of interesting. They didn't get any more requests for tulips. And landscapers said, no one's really asking for tulip beds to be installed in general.
What about daffodils?
They didn't mention daffodils. No. You think that should be, well, all bulbs have downsides, don't they? Deer will eat them and squirrels will uproot them. And
I don't think deer eat daffodils.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Landscape designers told me that people are wanting to include pollinator plants in their gardens. They're not quite sure what that means when they ask for it, but they've been reading about that. But really an increase in people wanting to plant some plants that would attract more bees and butterflies and beneficials to their yard or garden in a redesign.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Dog-friendly gardens.
Oh,
a lot of people owning dogs, and they want a little area where the dog can do his or her business, right?
And no poisonous plants.
Exactly right. So a dog-friendly gardening seems to be on the increase as far as people wanting to factor that into their redesign. Food in landscapes, certainly of all sizes, in pots, in hanging planters, in container gardening. People want to have some sense of ownership of being able to provide a little bit of food for their friends and family.
Even their front yard, they're doing edible landscaping. So, you know, it's not just for your backyard where nobody sees it. They, you know, your front yard can be a beautiful looking vegetable garden,
yep.
Fruit trees and whatnot.
Low maintenance still, of course, an increase in requests for low maintenance. And that maybe means an increase in what at least one nursery owner told me, perennials. Mm-hmm. People thinking if I plant perennials, group them together, I won't have to come in and do much year to year. They will come back. What's your sense of planting perennials in groups? Are they as reliable as they seem to be?
Depends on the perennial. Yeah, but a lot of them do need some cutting back, whether after they flowered or in the winter to get rid of all the old foliage. But why not just go with a lot of low-growing shrubs? There's a lot of them that you don't have to do anything to them.
Well, that's interesting because the next one was removing big shrubs that don't do anything and that are too close to the house. A lot of people are looking who are in fire areas about shrubs that are right up against their walls of their outside home and feeling they need to cut back or even remove shrubs that could be a fire danger.
Mm-hmm.
That's what some landscapers have told me. Other trends, mulches. We spoke to Deborah about mulches and what kind of mulches to use. Are there more fire-resistant mulches to use around the outside, the perimeter of your house? I'm sure researchers are looking at that based on the history of the California fire problems and the flammability of what you mentioned, the gorilla, the shredded mulch.
Mm-hmm.
So there are new kinds of mulches that are being developed using some compost and some very finely shredded wood and leaf mold and biochar, which is a form of charcoal. There's new companies coming out with mushroom compost. And there's a whole new generation, I guess, of new kinds of mulches and fire-resistant type mulches that you'll be seeing in the coming year. It makes sense, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be something to look forward on the horizon. Robotics. Now, we talked about robotics. certainly, a millennial generation, younger folks are always looking for the next new tech gadget that could reduce their workload. We talked about robo-gardening.
Yeah.
Robo-weeding, basically, last week. The Turtil.
Yeah.
That's going to be making its really official debut this coming year. The same folks that developed the Roomba. You can set it and forget it and dial in the parameters and dial it in through your smartphone and it will keep your paths supposedly weed free.
But it was funny, last week you were talking about having to have a fenced in yard. Because the next thing you know, it goes into the neighbor's yard and it needs to have some boundaries and know what to cut down and what not. Sounds, you know, big open area. It sounds like a good way to go.
It bodes well for garden talk and gardeners in general. The latest survey and statistics show that more American households are gardening than ever before. 77% as of 2018. 77% of American households consider themselves gardeners and have planted and nurtured and cared for plants in and around their landscape, which is very encouraging.
Yeah.
In the 2000 survey by the National Gardening Association, the biggest increase was from the 18 to 34-year-old age group, an all-time high. 6 million new gardeners / millennials added to the roster. And I think that's really encouraging.
That's excellent.
And what is driving them and bringing them to gardening is their interest in recycling and composting.
Oh,
those
good.
Were the two main things that 18 to 34-year-olds mentioned as why they felt gardening was a very important part of their life decisions and to teach their children. Also, the importance of pollinators. That was number two in the declining crisis of our bee population. And that their kids are asking about these and studying this in school. Bees, pollination, how important that is in the life cycle. And also the third was native plants. People are still very interested in trying to incorporate more native plants in their landscaping.
Yeah.
So those are a few of the trends that came out from the 2018 survey. I think that's very encouraging.
That's impressive.
636-1350 if you want to reach us live on Garden Talk this morning, or Steve at KSRO to join our conversation. Lee from Healdsburg, welcome to the show. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Gwen.
Wait, before you ask any questions, I want to know, did you get your critter catcher for your spider issue?
I did not, so I'm ordering it.
Oh,
I'm going to buy it for myself this year. To heck with them.
Good for
I'll
you.
I'll let you know how it does. It's
okay.
Supposed to be safe for spiders. It's
perfect.
Not supposed to hurt them.
Yeah, perfect. Good. Okay, keep us posted.
I will. I don't know. I heard that plants need an inch of water every week. And so I'm wondering about these potted plants. I have potted plants that are soaking wet because of the rain and everything, and it's been a couple weeks or something since it rained. So do they need the water or just the moisture?
Moisture.
Okay.
The root system needs to be damp pretty much at all times. That's mm-hmm. what they would like. That's what keeps them going. That prevents the little root hairs from dying out, which they need to absorb nutrients and goodies and whatnot. So, you know, unless you have some cactus or something, then that's a different story. But stick your fingers down in the soil or use a moisture meter or whatnot. And if you go, the further down you go into the pot, the wetter the soil will be. And if your root system's down in there, then okay, everybody's fine. So use your moisture meter as a guideline to see how wet or dry your soil is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we just had rain not too long ago on Christmas Eve. So mm-hmm. I highly doubt that anything's going to be drying out now, unless you have something in tiny little pots, which they're overgrown to begin with in there, then that's a different story.
But, no, everything seems to be pretty wet.
Yeah, so you can even just rub your finger, you know, a couple inches down in the soil, and you'll see, wow, it's still wet.
And I do that, yes.
Make sure that the drainage holes are clear so that excess water can get out. And we really shouldn't have to worry about watering anything at this time of the year.
Great.
So,
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So cross that off your list of things to do.
Okay,
Lee.
Have a happy new year, Lee.
Thank you, too.
Thanks.
Very nice to hear from you. Let's head to the beautiful city of Santa Rosa, California. Dennis, welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. Hi, Dennis.
Oh, thank you. Good morning.
Morning.
I'm getting ready to prune a fig tree that I have, and I'm going to do the low branches, the cross and whatnot that are problematic. But I've got some high ones, and, you know, I can't harvest the fruit from them. And, you know, so from my personal perspective, they're useless. And I'm wondering if there would be a problem doing that, you know, cut off maybe the highest 3 or 4 feet of what's up there. There's about 6 of them.
Not unless, don't cut stumps, okay? Just don't go chop, chop, chop and cut them off. Go back down on the branch until you come to another branch where that will take over the growth. And you know what I mean?
Okay.
So you're not
yes.
going to just cut it. You're going to go down. You go, okay, here's a branch growing towards the outside of the tree. I'm going to cut above that, and that will be the highest point of the tree, or one of the highest points now, because you've lowered the canopy 3 or 4 feet. Okay, so you still keep the nice shape of the tree. Hopefully the branches will be growing out sideways, and that way, you know, you're not cutting
yes.
to another branch that's growing straight up, because then it'll be growing up, and then you'll have another 8 feet of height, and then you have to prune again. So look for
right.
branches that are growing more horizontal.
Okay. And then as far as when I do make the cut to that branch that's a good one, 1/4 inch from it, or how close cut to it?
Well, if you look at the branch attachment, okay, to the branch that you want to cut off, you'll see, you know, I can't see from here. I can't quite, you know, I can't visualize it. But you don't want to cut too much on an angle where you're going to cut into the remaining branch. So you look at that
right.
branch that you want to keep. Draw a horizontal line from where it's attached to the tree, you know, where the V is. Okay?
Yes.
Go horizontal across. Don't cut any lower than that. Because behind that branch that you're going to keep, it needs all that wood to keep it supported, you know, on the tree. If you cut too far of an angle where now below that cut, that area is affected because now you've cut into that branch, that's a weak spot, and then it could eventually break.
Okay, understand.
Okay?
Yes.
So if that helps you.
Yeah.
So your branch that's growing up, okay, then you see the horizontal branch, okay, and you're going to cut, at that point, you're going to cut that extra branch off, right? Okay,
yes.
So just get that horizontal line across the horizontal branch, And then you're going to protect that lower branch that horizontal branch is attached to. Got that visual?
Understand.
Okay.
Yes.
And then,
all right, thank you.
And then there you go. But, you know, I'm thinking with our tree, if I did that to our fig tree, the birds are going to come and eat all those figs that we've been getting. And because I also can't reach the figs towards the top of the tree, so the birds are eating those. So if you remove all of that, now you're exposing the remaining of the fruits for the birds to eat. Now you're going to have more competition with them.
Yeah, well, they're competition now, but I think they'll still have some up there.
Okay, there'll still be plenty for
them.
Yeah,
that is a good idea.
Okay.
But then how high will these fig trees go? Because, you know, it's a mission, and I've heard that, you know, 30 feet. And mine is planted on a slope in the backyard, and it's about maybe 6 feet from the neighbor's fence behind.
Well, you might have to do some pruning and make it a more espaliered-looking tree. It depends on your soil and the conditions and whatnot. Yeah, they can get 30 feet high and wide. Even bigger. I mean, my friend Gary Blossy, his tree 50. Is the biggest thing I've ever seen in my whole life. And but that's an ideal growing condition. Yeah. So say in your yard, you can manage the height and the width by doing some selective pruning. You can even do it during the summer, you know, after you've harvested the fruit. So where you make those cuts on those branches to bring the height down, you'll probably have some shoots growing back up again.
Okay, and I can do this every year
to a
small degree. Okay.
Yeah, you can keep on. And if you see the shoots growing in the summertime, prune it then. That way you do, it's kind of like dormant pruning, because winter pruning invigorates the trees to grow. So if you do it in the summertime, there's nothing there for them to grow in the shoot up in the winter.
Okay, so then what I'll do then is I will wait till the summer, because it's not critical. And so when they have leaves on them?
No. Do your pruning that you want to do now, right?
Okay,
do that now. And then in the springtime, if you see any shoots coming up from where you made those cuts, during the summer or any time, just cut those off. Don't wait until next winter to cut them off.
Okay, got it.
All righty.
Happy New Year, Dennis.
Same to you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, happy pruning.
Our pleasure. Great talking with you. Let's head out to Sebastopol before we take our break, because Bruce would like a word with us. Welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning.
Morning.
A quick question. Good morning. Do blood oranges drop fruit?
They will if they're...
I have one. It has a...
Go ahead.
Yes. Well, I have one, and it has way more fruit than it's ever had before, and but now it's starting to drop a lot. In a way, I can see that if it kept it all, it'd probably break all the branches. But I just wondered if they actually do typically drop fruit.
Only if there's a problem. So, but not because there's too much fruit. They would have done that way back when the fruits were very small and just naturally thinned themselves. It could be that they're overripe or they're rotting. So cut a bunch of them off and, you know, cut them in half and see what they taste like, see what they look like. And this could be the time for you to start harvesting them. And it could be as simple as that. But if you're looking at the ones that fell on the ground and they're squishy and obvious signs of rot, on the outside, brown rot?
No.
Anything? Nothing?
No, they're fine. They just they look ripe, but they're small and they haven't developed a lot of. They're still pretty sour.
Okay, they need a lot of heat. Those oranges are one of the hardest to grow. They want hot weather. They want to think they're in Florida all the time. Sicily. Yeah. So, you know, if it didn't get hot during the growing season, then it's too late for them to get any sweetness now. So you have what you have, and you can make a lot of marmalade with them. Yeah, seriously. That's what a friend of mine does. Her blood orange doesn't ever get a nice taste to it. So she makes a lot of marmalade, and it's fantastic. So... That?
Yeah, I wonder if the juice could be used for in place of sour orange, like in Mexican cooking.
It can. It's wonderful. Yes, you could use it. And John Ash does the same thing. He's got a a blood orange tree, and he uses it a lot in mimosas and other kinds of sauces.
Mm-hmm. So there you have it, then, Bruce.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Have a good
and
new
if you,
year.
Wait, if you see your branch is looking like it's possibly going to break, you might want to start picking some fruit off that tree sooner than later.
Well, I propped all the branches. I made a trellis kind of thing around it.
There you
go. Prop up the branches. I saw this coming.
Okay.
A couple, 3 months ago. Okay. So I propped everything up. So it's all supported.
All right. Problem solved.
I was hoping maybe it would just drop a few fruit and all the rest would get much bigger and sweet.
Yeah.
Yes, that's not going to happen.
You know what? You never know. If we stay, if this weather continues to stay a little bit warm, it just might be enough to do the trick. But don't count on it, because I don't think so. But I'm trying to make you feel better. So,
right. There
you go. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You're
Have
welcome.
A great New Year's, Bruce. Back with more questions, more answers after this. Don't go away, Lou, Karen. Your questions coming up next.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market invites you to shop the market for your holiday feast. Enjoy selections of fresh and organic greens, mushrooms, carrots, potatoes, turnips, Brussels sprouts, and winter squash, along with seasonal pomegranates, persimmons, apples, and walnuts. Meet the local ranchers who offer a variety of quality meats from beef, chicken, and pork. Choose a wide variety of seafood from Anna's Seafood. Fresh fish, crabs, clams, oysters, and mussels. Sample and bring home local dairy products like Joe Mattis's delicious St. George cow cheese. Everything you need to create the freshest holiday dinners is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Remember to check out the creations of the many talented artisans for holiday gift giving. Open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Where are you putting your money these days? Are you getting the best deals? The kind of investment that, at the end of the day, you can just put your feet up and relax? Like a sofa? A really nice leather one? Just one of the kajillion things on sale this weekend, only at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Your money will work a lot harder during their countdown to savings. You'll save on everything from sleepers to sectionals, but you only have 72 hours. So invest in something solid, like the entertainment center you've always wanted. These special rates only last through the weekend, so make a really smart financial and stylish decision now. A room full of terrific furniture from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. This is one investment you'll hold on to for a long, long time.
Celebrate the new year in comfort and save on Lazy Boy Furniture with no sales tax or 3 years free financing. Save on the hottest styles, special promotions, end-of-year closeouts, and more. Plus, no tax or free financing for 3 years. Going on now at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Open New Year's Day.
You know, there's no denying it's unhealthy. It makes you cough and hurt your lungs. Burning wood in your fireplace pollutes the air outside and inside your home. Safeguard your family's health this winter. If your home is smoking, it's time to quit. It's your air. Protect it. To learn more, visit sparetheair.org.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
It is Garden Talk. It is live. It is KSRO as we close up another year of great questions from our listeners, wonderful guests and topics. Thanks to all the great experts that have sat in with Gwen and Steve this past year, and there's more to come in 2019. Back to the calls we go. Let's stay in Santa Rosa. Karen, it's your turn. Welcome to Garden Talk. What can we do for you this morning? Hi.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I really appreciate the opportunity to ask the question.
Sure.
You're welcome.
Just love your show. Thank you. Okay, well, our home burned in Fountain Grove, and we've been designing the landscaping for the rebuild. And we really love lawn. We wanted to put in lawn. And in fact, lawn did not burn in part of the areas of our land that did burn, obviously the home burned. And we wanted to put in some grass. And I wanted to, you know, just really talk a little bit about the varieties of grass that would be acceptable. And I have a concern about putting in the discussion that went to the mulch as well, because this lawn is so important to our, you know, environment, to have it for bugs and bees and birds and, you know, everything else. And so there's a multiplicity of issues I see. And I'd like to know what kind of variety of a grass you would put in if it wasn't the that mulch that couldn't burn.
Okay, well, let me just answer that, make a comment about what you just said about the lawn being good for the birds and the bees and the bugs and all that. That, not true. The lawn doesn't do anything unless you have some weeds in it where they grow and flower, and then the little butterflies or bees or beneficial insects would go to those little weed flowers. But we put too many herbicides down and get rid of all the weeds. So the lawn doesn't do anything for anybody. So that's not true.
I beg to differ. I beg to differ, not to argue. I truly
sure.
Do.
No, go ahead.
There's worms that are necessary to till that dirt. I see birds feeding in those areas. I don't use herbicides, by the way, and nobody has to. I pull my own weeds, and if I have a weed that I like, I keep it. So I totally disagree. I see all kinds of good things going on with activity in my lawn, and I've always have.
Okay.
And so I don't consider. And plus the CO2. It's green. I mean, if we take out all the grass and all the green that's here, we're going to die. So
true.
That's number one, but I'll let you just, sorry to correct you.
No, you're not correct. Opinion. No. I appreciate this, Karen. No, I see activity also in my lawn, but I wasn't thinking of the worms, you know, what they were doing, because they're all over my property. And I see what you're saying about the birds coming and this and that. So that's great. I appreciate that input. That's perfectly fine. That's good. But so that's no problem, problem. But as far as different varieties of grasses, to help conserve water, there's a lot of dwarf fescue mixes out there that would be a good variety of grass, a good type of grass to use instead of a bluegrass, ryegrass mix that needs a lot of water and a lot of fertilizing and then therefore a lot of mowing. So check out the sod companies around here that sell the different types. And if you wanted to go with seed and sow seeds instead of putting in sod, there's Labalisters on Sebastopol Road. That's a great source of lots of different varieties, which I don't know the names of the varieties since I haven't done any research or I haven't, you know, been kept up to date on any of the variety names. But they would have all the varieties there for you to purchase. But as far as the sod, you know, there's a couple places, I think one out in Sebastopol.
Not to cut you off, but I'm familiar with some of those places. So I get what you're saying. I can find the sod. I get what you're saying. There's a dwarf fescue and not the bluegrass and keep it drought tolerant and all that. Okay.
But make sure that's
my other. Here's my other question. If I don't use the sod, if I go with this low, what the mulch, whatever it is, the non-burning mulch, I don't get that at all because, frankly, it depends on the angle of the light. Look, you can make the burn-resistant mulch all day long, but you're going to have to make everything the same way because, frankly, I've heard that this, and I'm even aware that these low E windows can burn the sidings of homes next to them if that angle of the light comes down. That angle is very, very penetrating.
Mm-hmm.
And also it can burn cars.
Right.
Burn pretty much anything.
Correct.
I mean, it's like taking a mirror. It's really like taking a mirror and when you're camping, you take a mirror and you start a fire. You can start a fire if you focus it and aim that mirror down with sunlight on it. You can start a fire. You can start a dry twig on fire.
Right.
So, you know, but making when you make the mulch burn resistant, well, that's just one piece of material. There's everything is around that could burn. So that's got to be, a big deal.
Right. So here we are in this big conundrum. Yep. You know, what do we do? What don't we do? If you really wanted to be on the safe side, don't put anything down and leave bare dirt. You know, don't let any weeds grow. Well, you know, a few weeds
here
and
there. Well, I think it's a misnomer. I really think it's bad information. I think really it's like lawn doesn't burn.
Right.
The issue is burnt. The issue is burning, and we know lawn doesn't burn.
Right.
Mine didn't. And so here we are.
So we need to wrap it up pretty quickly, but did you want a recommendation for a lawn blend? Was that what you were looking for, Karen?
Well, no, I think I have that. I think that question got answered. I'm just saying if I don't use the lawn blend and I go to the mulch idea, I can't because the mulch idea will start fires. And anything will, really.
Exactly.
You know,
that's right.
Everything
is flammable, and it appears, at least from our previous caller, that the low-E windows increase the risk of possibly focusing high-intensity heat and would possibly increase the risk of flammability. You're correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's, you know, something that everybody should know, and I think lawns are safe. That's
safer.
And low-E windows are not.
Okay.
That's a big deal.
Yep.
And just putting in the mulch is like bad information.
Okay. Well, we appreciate the input, the feedback. Thanks for the call. We need to take a break at this point. We'll go back and we'll grab Lou's question and a few more coming in at 636-1350. Certainly a lot of considerations when we are re-landscaping about the pros and cons of any type of installation of mulch versus lawns versus shrubbery. There's lots of choices to be made.
There's no correct answer.
We'll be back after this.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
Message and data rates may apply.
Earning your degree from one of the top business schools in the country might sound impossible to fit into your workload. But what if there were a business degree that furthered your career and gave you access to world-renowned faculty, leaders, and mentors, all on your schedule? One that opened doors to some of the most influential CEOs, tech companies, law firms, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. And what if you could earn that degree in as little as 16 months, 100% online? To find out more, text CYCLE to 79645. That's CYCLE to 79645. Start your online MBA, Information Management, or Business Analytics Master's program from the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University today. Learn more about the W.P. Carey Business Graduate Programs online. Text CYCLE to 79645. That's CYCLE to 79645.
Hey folks, this is George Adair from Bay Equity Home Loans. We're your local lender, but I want you to know we have cutting-edge technology available to you. I'm really excited to announce our Bay Equity Express closing. You don't have to go search the internet to find your home loan lender. We're right here in Santa Rosa, Petaluma, and Windsor. Bay Equity Home Loans offers many loan programs with amazing technology. At closing, you can digitally sign your loan documents. It saves time, saves frustration, and we get to the closing process so much faster. If you're buying in Sonoma County, the speed to close is one of the most important factors in getting your offer accepted. The reputation of Bay Equity locally is amongst the best. Visit us at bayequityloans.com or call 707-583-8100. Again, 707-583-8100. Bay Equity is your home for loans.
Equal housing lender subject to credit approval. NMLS ID 76988. The transaction will be made pursuant to the Department of Business Oversight California Finance Lender Law and or California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. NMLS ID 245370.
After Christmas means Macy's lowest prices of the season on fantastic furniture for your home. Like the Radley 5-Piece Chaise Sectional on sale for just $1,599. And the Tribeca Queen Bed only $289. Score a bonus $200 Macy's gift card or 40-inch smart TV with any iComfort, Beautyrest Black, or Stearns & Foster purchase of $1,099. And get a Macy Bed by Serta Basics Foam Firm Mattress for just $199. Now through January 1st at Macy's. Savings off sale prices, exclusions apply.
Savory meat pies, sweet cookies and pastries, high-quality organic ingredients and recipes straight from New Zealand. That's what Burton's Bakery is all about. Start your day with a bacon and egg pie and grab treats for the office. Stop in for lunch and grab a steak and cheese pie or a fresh-made sandwich. Right now, get a $50 gift card for $25 for Burton's Bakery at mysonomadeals.com. A $50 gift card from Burton's Bakery for just $25. The best deals in Sonoma County are at mysonomadeals.com. And right now, Burton's Bakery is half off. Get to MySonomaDeals.com.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
We hope you're a big fan of winter sunshine because besides a few clouds, it's going to blanket our area with warming today near 60. Tonight will start cloudy, but then the fog will roll in, pushing lows to the mid-30s. The unfriendly clouds make their return on Sunday, pushing highs into the low 60s. They'll remain Sunday night with temps in the low 30s. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
It is Garden Talk live at KSRO. Gwen Kilcher and Steve Garner hosting the program. And to address Karen's question and very, very lucid comments about the best choices for re-landscaping, we had to take a break, so we couldn't finish up what we were talking about. And that is the importance of using so many of these beautiful rock aggregates and gravels to incorporate that. If you're looking for something that's not going to burn, well, your choices are pretty limited. Dirt, concrete, okay, or aggregate and rock and gravel.
Yeah.
And there's been a big surge in producers mining and developing these new, very attractive gravel and aggregates. And a lot of landscapers are using these in and around the perimeters of homes that they are re-landscaping with selective plantings.
Mm-hmm.
Not to take anything away from lawns. Lawns are wonderful, but they do require upkeep more so than gravel and rock does. So there's another choice. Also make sure your gutters are kept clean, for heaven's sakes, because one embers, doesn't matter how much you do on the ground, if your gutters are overflowing with leaves and debris and there's an ember, God forbid, again, we have to go through what we then, it's not going to matter. So make sure your roofs are in good condition, your gutters are clean, and do due diligence. But if there's going to be a conflagration the size that we saw here in Sonoma and Napa and, all the other places around California, it's going to be pretty tough to defend your property. But do due diligence and make intelligent choices.
But thanks for your info, Karen.
Lou, thanks for holding and welcome to Garden Talk. Hi, Lou. What can we do for you today?
Yeah, good morning. I got a question about I planted some Carolina cherries shrubs last summer, and they're doing well. They got good sunlight, but what's going on with them now is they seem to be covered with a lot of a brown, like, rust on the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, what is that, and what would be the best way to treat it, and where do I go from here? Because they're not looking real good. And I know something's wrong, so what can you do to help me with that?
Unfortunately, that's a fungus disease. Begins with an E. It's a big, long Latin name, but it's just the leaf spot disease that and one of several other shrubs, evergreen shrubs, get. And unfortunately, there's no effective fungicide that won't kill everything else in that. It just depends on our, warm spring, wet weathers. Makes the disease spread a bit, and you'll notice probably that it started from the bottom part of your plant, starts working its way up. Have you noticed that?
Well, I see it kind of all over up the higher part as well. They're probably about 5 feet, 6 feet tall,
Okay, so it's been going on for a while. Unfortunately, it's all weather related. If we have some nice, dry, sunny springs, then it won't be such an issue and it won't be spreading as much. But what you see on the leaves now is that's it. It's the leaves eventually will get overtaken by those spots as they start to get bigger and bigger, and the leaves fall, and you might have a continuous leaf drop.
Can I spray them with something?
No, see, I can't think of anything that you can spray with that won't be, that's not so non-toxic, I don't know.
Well, I want it to be toxic to the fungus.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
Yeah, that's the problem. I can't think of anything out there that would control that disease and not harm bees and butterflies and beneficial insects and birds and everything else. I don't know what the label is on the copper sprays that we use for the peach leaf curl. But if you get a chance, if you go to the nursery and look at copper spray or Liquicop, see if this disease, my something, E-N-D-O, something, a leaf spot. It would be on the label. And if it is, then you can start spraying now. The problem is, with this disease, you have to keep spraying all the time.
All right. Well, I'll take some of the leaves into the nursery and show them and then see what they can recommend as, if they have a, anything to put to that. But
yeah, because I don't, like I said, I the copper sprays might help, but I don't think the neem oils and all those things are going to do any good. Like I said, it's all weather related. It's spread by dampness and warmth, like a lot of fungus diseases.
Okay.
And that particular Carolina cherry and Raphiolepis, you know, the India hawthorn, Escalonia, a lot of other nice Photinia, a lot of those evergreen shrubs are all susceptible to this disease. And once it starts, it's extremely difficult to get rid of. So,
all right. Well, okay. Well, thank you for that. I have one other comment, too. Discussion about the mulch and the reflected heat from the low-E windows.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They may be producing mulches that are less flammable, but that doesn't take away the problem, because any dry brush or shrubs, weeds, things like that are being ignited by the heat from these windows. And I looked at the research that they mentioned to go online and look at,
mm-hmm.
and this reflected heat is melting the siding on neighbors' houses.
Yeah, there was some anecdotal information.
And even focused on cars that have caused them to burn.
Yeah.
And I know of some folks in town that play with their kids out in the cul-de-sac, and they say at a certain time of day, when the sunlight is glaring off of their neighbors' windows, when the kids run through there, they feel the heat to a point where they stay out of it.
Wow.
So that's a big issue.
Wow.
But another issue, too, is if we plant grass, the benefit of that is anything that's green and growing takes in carbon dioxide and gives off oxygen.
Yes.
And that's what we need. They keep telling us to reduce our carbon dioxide. Well, that's upsetting the cycle. We need carbon dioxide for all green living things to function, to give us oxygen.
Right. That's what Karen was mentioning earlier.
That's what Karen was pointing out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's the point. And gravel does not do anything to help us in that
there's
cycle
no,
other than it's fire.
You're right. There's no panacea. Absolutely. We were just giving some alternatives for people that are on the anti-lawn campaign. And there's many people out there that have ripped it out and said, no way. And then there's the anti-gravel people that feel it's sterile and contributes nothing to the environment whatsoever. So thank you for pointing out those certainly choices that people need to make. We appreciate your call. This year, I have become a discoverer and an admirer, Gwen, of Pinterest. I know, I never thought I would, but I really like Pinterest. And I was searching on Pinterest a few days ago, and I came across a big houseplant section. And I did a little more research, and Pinterest reported that searches for houseplants were up 90% in 2018.
Wow.
So there's an incredible increase in people searching for information about houseplants. And the people that they at least quoted on Pinterest say that they were looking for connection with houseplants. They were drawn to the appeal of houseplants, and they described themselves as plant parents. Don't you love that?
That's cute.
Plant parents. Back to more calls right after this.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station, FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5.
The best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sonoma County.
That's Dr. Walter Tom's staff thanking you, Sonoma County, for voting Dr. Walter Tom, the Press Democrat, best cosmetic surgeon. Why? He listens. He cares. And he and his team are highly skilled in cosmetic procedures.
Thank you to our wonderful patients who voted us, the Press Democrat, best cosmetic surgeon for a third year in a row. We are humbled by your kindness and will continue to strive to achieve the best cosmetic results possible, because patient happiness and their self-confidence is our top priority.
The best. Botox, fillers, lasers, hair transplants, smart lipo, tummy tucks, and breast augmentation. A true professional with skills beyond the ordinary. Cosmetic surgeon, Dr. Walter Thom. Contact his office today for a free consultation or visit his website at drwalterthom.com. drwalterthom.com.
We love you, Sonoma County!
Honey, I like your idea of expanding our outdoor living space, but a sunroom? How about a decorative patio with a motorized retractable awning?
That would give us the best of both worlds, sunshine and a covered patio, but an awning?
Oh, these new retractable awnings are sturdy. The quality's top-notch. I stopped by Sonoma County Sunrooms the other day, and their patio design options would be really nice.
This is David from Sonoma County Sunrooms. SoCoSun. Our design experts will work with you to create the perfect look for your home. We have many options to help you find the right choice you are sure to fall in love with.
You're right. One of these options will be amazing. What a great way to expand our living space to the outdoors.
Well, it will help add equity to our home, and we can still take advantage of their financing options.
Let's go check out their showroom.
Actually, let's have them come to us.
Call to schedule a free design consultation. We'll visit you, discuss the options, then create a digital rendering of how your home could look with a patio cover, an awning, or even a sunroom. Sonoma County Sunrooms on Santa Rosa Avenue, just north of Todd Road, or SoCoSun.com.
Since 1960, the family at Malm Fireplace Center in Santa Rosa's been helping people with all their heating needs. Winter is here, and what would be nicer than warming up with a new gas, wood, or pellet burning product from Malm Fireplace Center? The largest showroom, the widest selection, and over 150 years combined experience. 368 Yolanda Avenue in Santa Rosa, or go to malmfireplacecenter.com. MALMFireplaceCenter.com.
This holiday season, give yourself the gift of money saved. Your Santa Rosa Grocery Outlet on 4th Street has all your holiday fix-ins at 40 to 60% less than other supermarkets. Stop in today for your holiday ham, only $1.49 a pound. Fresh produce, gourmet cheeses, and don't forget the wine. Your Santa Rosa Grocery Outlet on 4th Street is your money-saving, happy holidays headquarters.
Grocery Outlet, Bargain Market.
It's Garden Talk live and lively this morning. Great calls from our Garden Talk listeners throughout Northern California and afar. Steve Garner, along with Gwen Kilcher, pulling the curtain down on 2018. I want to thank Joe for holding, calling from Sebastopol this morning. And let's find out what is on Joe's mind this morning as we welcome him to Garden Talk. Hi, Joe. What can we do for you this morning?
Well, that's a big question. I got a lot on my mind, including all the fire stuff, too. But we'll stick it to the cactus question that I got. I have a probably, I think they're called pear prickly cactus, the big edible kind where you can cook with. And I probably have a dozen of them, 6 to 8 foot tall. And I need to move them about 20 feet down the hill a little bit. And I'm just trying to figure out how best to do that, how deep the roots are, what time of year I should transplant those.
Wow. My question is...
And are they going to survive? Do I take a bulldozer and just push them down the hill and see what they do? Or dig them out? And, if they have to reduce in size, that's fine, too. I'm just trying to figure out the most efficient way to do that.
Wow. Well, number one, don't touch them. That's a good question.
That's no fun.
I know, but yeah, I'll go ahead, get stuck with the little thorns. That's a good question. I wouldn't move them yet because if we get a lot of rain, when we get a lot of rain, they're going to be a little too top heavy and this and that, and the soil is going to be too wet for that root system to take hold. It's going to be too cold. So you could wait until early in the spring, or you could wait until fall. If you wanted to, either one. Okay. But when the soil's workable, then you can go ahead and move them. If there's any way you can selectively prune to take down the height of those things, that would be great. You can even take the top, if you have patience, you can take a section, cut off a section, the top half of those plants, and transplant those. But you really have to watch the watering. Like I said, you don't want the soil too wet. You can prop them up somehow so they'll stay upright. Eventually, they'll start rooting, and there you go. And then you can keep those other plants where they are. But if you want to move the whole plant, cut it in half if you can, you know, selectively pruning so you can keep the shape of this thing. And go to Sonoma Mission Gardens and get a ton of burlap, wrap it around the plants, so at least you have some protection from those thorns, and get some heavy-duty welder's gloves so you don't get hit. Well, I don't know, wear body armor or something. So, but yeah, no, seriously, you one stab with those things, and if the needle, the thorn breaks off, it's, you know, horrifically painful.
That doesn't, I completely understand. How deep are those roots?
They're not very deep. I'd say within the first 18 inches of the soil. They really don't have much of a deep root system, but they have, you know, it spreads out a bit all over. So you want to get a wide, but, you know, in shallow, you know, if you can use a bulldozer, boy, that would be great. Backhoe or something.
Right.
But
I might be able to.
Really? If you can.
And when I cut them and replant them, how deep can I just bury it?
Yeah, I just make a trench, stick that cut part in the soil, throw some soil around it, prop it up so they don't fall over, and wait. Time will tell if you've been successful or not. And you know, like I said, if you watch the watering, keep the soil damp, and just leave them alone, they should root again on you. And of course, the smaller the piece, the faster it will root, but then the longer it's going to take for you to get anything out of them, because look how long it took for the ones that you have now to get to be as big as they are.
And they've been harvested quite a bit
for
the edible pears or whatever you call the little beautiful
prickly pears. But if you can use a backhoe or some kind of heavy equipment, that's what I'd go for.
And I'm sorry, Joe, but we are out of time for the hour.
No problem.
Can we continue our conversation next week?
Of course we can. I'll listen next week, and if you need some more fire talk, I can join in on that discussion, too.
Wonderful.
Okay,
looking
love
forward
it.
To it. Thanks, and have a wonderful new year. We'll take a break and be right back.
Larkfield, here's FM News Talk KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market invites you to shop the market for your holiday feast. Enjoy selections of fresh and organic greens, mushrooms, carrots, potatoes, turnips, Brussels sprouts, and winter squash, along with seasonal pomegranates, persimmons, apples, and walnuts. Meet the local ranchers who offer a variety of quality meats from beef, chicken, and pork. Choose a wide variety of seafood from Anna's Seafood. Fresh fish, crabs, clams, oysters, and mussels. Sample and bring home local dairy products like Joe Mattos's delicious St. George cow cheese. Everything you need to create the freshest holiday dinners is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Remember to check out the creations of the many talented artisans for holiday gift giving. Open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
There's a better way to garden and landscape in Sonoma County, and it starts at a Better Way Produce and Nursery on Stony Point Road, just north of Todd in Santa Rosa.
Hi, Daniel R. Gibbs, botanical artist. I'm the award-winning resident licensed landscape designer and contractor. Our team has won first place 14 years in a row at the Sonoma County Fair's Hall of Flowers, and this year, our garden, Coastal Charisma, won Best of Show. I'm excited to be a part of Better Way Produce and Nursery. Our family would like to invite you to come see our old-fashioned, easy-to-shop nursery. We have great discounted landscape packages, including plants, hardscape, irrigation, design, and other outdoor needs for your garden. Don't miss our koi pond, small spaces demonstration gardens, complete with water features, and nearly 1,000 plant species.
A Better Way Produce and Nursery, 3615 Stony Point Road, just north of Todd. A Better Way Produce and Nursery, open 7 days a week, 9 to 4:30.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
We will continue our wonderful crystal ball look into 2019 gardening trends, plants of the year, next Saturday in January. How about that, Gwen?
Okay. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year to all of our Garden Talk listeners. We hope people will stick around for the Good Food Hour with Chef John Ash and special guest, the wine guy, Tom Simoneaux, debuts his top wines of the year. Always a fun show. This is KSRO.